जय निताय गोपुर मंदिर।
So last night we finished chapter 2. Tonight we will begin chapter 3. What is chapter 3 called?
Liberation from material energy.
What is it?
Liberation from
material energy. Yeah. So tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 16. It's a very nice chapter, very nice section. And we'll have some very important instructions tonight based upon. Okay. Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Hands up if you want to become liberated from the illusory. Then you have to study this chapter, because this chapter, if you follow all the instructions in this chapter, you'll become liberated from the material. King Nimi said, "Now we wish to learn about the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu, which bewilders even great mystics. My lords, please speak to us about this subject."
According to Sri Srila Swami, in this chapter, various saintly sons of Vishuddha will speak about the illusory energy maya, the means for crossing beyond it, the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and prescribed duties for human beings. The 48th verse of the previous chapter stated, Vishnu Vishnupashyam, a devotee of Krishna should see the entire universe to be the illusory potency of the Lord. Therefore, King Nimi is now pursuing this subject matter by requesting more detailed information from the saintly yogendras. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the demigod is headed by Lord Rama, and the human beings of the earth are all driven by their particular desires for material sense gratification. Thus, they direct their senses toward research for material knowledge. The subtle celestial senses of the demigods and the gross senses of human beings are all busy in ascertaining the measurements of material sense objects. To understand fully the actual nature of maya, the illusory potency, which causes the conditioned souls to become averse to the partial sense and surrender to bewildering material manifestations, King Nimi is inquiring from another of the nine yogendras, Sri Antariksha.
So what is included there?
They should have the knowledge of the illusory energy.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they can overcome.
What is it?
That's the only way to overcome her.
We should see the entire universe to reveal the potency of the Lord.
Anything else?
See, illusory energy just keeps try to keep us away from the spiritual energy. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
And we have to somehow take shelter of the Uttamadhi courage to overcome us.
Anything else?
Material energy is trying to keep us averse from Krishna. So we should always be ready to think of Krishna rather than.
Yeah, so we have to understand what it is that is binding us to this material energy. You can't get out of the material world until you understand you are in the material world. When you understand you're in the material world, then you can begin to become liberated. So we have to understand what is binding us. This has already been studied all through the Bhagavatam, particularly the third canto, the teachings of Kapiladeva, the Sankhya section. It concentrates on this, understanding, analyzing what the material energy is constituted of. When you understand how it works and how it affects us, how it binds us, this is also spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, the whole last section, chapter 13 through to 17 and then 18. This whole section gives you detailed knowledge on how the material energy works, and this is being expanded upon. So if you just study these very blissful teachings, you will become liberated. So we should study the 11th canto very carefully, because it will help us to become liberated from the material attachment. So this is the analysis which is being given very clearly. This is being included in this section of the Bhagavatam. And just by reading this one chapter and understanding it, you can become completely detached from Maya, from the effects of the illusory energy. In the second paragraph, the scientists are attacked. In the last 2 years, Prabhupada was with us. Very much he was emphasizing establishing the Bhakti Vedanta. What are they called?
Institute,
yeah, BI, yeah, the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Yeah, the scientific division of ISKCON. The last 2 years, Prabhupada was very emphatic because he wanted us, or those devotees who are scientists, who are scientifically minded, to preach to the scientists, the atheists, and to help them become devotees. Because what is modern science for? Right? It is to facilitate sense gratification of the modern world. That's why people study science. And now everything is becoming very elaborate. No? Just like, they discovered the light bulb. Then what is the purpose? So now we get more sense gratification. Right? And they created aeroplanes. And we'll see in the next 10 years, technology will advance very rapidly. In the next 20, 30 years, they're predicting by 2050, which is like 30 years away, people will start becoming cyborgs, which means they'll actually implant machines into our bodies. Like they'll, instead of having glasses, they'll actually implant things into your eyes so you can see in the dark and all sorts of things. You know, like they have now, the military have? Like they put on goggles and then they have infrared vision, they can see. So they'll implant that into you. So you just have it. You just pay some money, get the operators there, and then you can just look around. Lights go off, you can still see everyone. So these things will happen. You'll see very rapidly from now on the technology will advance. But what's the whole point of it? Sense gratification. What's the point of understanding? Scientists study this material energy very carefully to learn how to manipulate it so that they can enjoy sense gratification. That's not the point. We should understand the material energy so we can become liberated from it. That's the whole point. Become attached to, detached from it, not to increase your attachment. If you're becoming more attached to the material energy, then you're not advancing properly in Krishna consciousness. Because we should be becoming detached from the material world, not attached to the material world. This is what this chapter is speaking. Any points?
Admeni Priti and Krishna.
Both are there. Anything else?
They sent a machine to the moon planet.
What's that?
They sent a machine to the moon planet.
A machine?
To the moon planet.
To the moon?
Moon.
Yeah.
India
sent, right? Then what happened when it got there? It crashed. How much did they spend?
900 crores.
900 crores.
980.
Which is how many dollars?
980.
18 million. No, it must be billion.
Million
or billion?
Billion.
Billion. 18 billion dollars and the thing crashed. Congratulations. whether or not it even went there in the first place. That's the point. Can they even get to the moon?
India did it.
India does so many things.
How did they get the money from?
Where did they get the money from?
People.
From the people.
People are so poor.
They are selling limca. Limca. Limca is one drink you get in India.
Yeah,
all the proceeds go to the space program.
So,
okay. What's that?
Never thought Indians will be doing it.
Whether or not they even went there, we don't know. We're not sure they went there the first time, so how can we trust? Although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and his devotees are the actual medicine for conditioned souls like me, who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. You, Raj?
According to Srila Sridhar Swami, one may argue that since the symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord have already been elaborately described, one can prepare his life by advancing to the platform mentioned in the previous words, and there is no need for further questions. But Hari Katha Amritam, topics about the Lord and his devotees, are so pleasing and beautiful that one cannot give up hearing them even after spiritual liberation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this collection, has quoted the following words: those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. Material medicine is not desirable once a disease has been cured, but on the absolute platform, the means and the end are not different. So the chanting and hearing the glories of Lord Krishna are both the means and the end of transcendental bliss.
Any points?
And the verse is very important. Atma Lamasya Muni Nigyan Sati Uttam Parvanti Hai Tukam Bhakti Tam Bhut.
What does it mean?
Those are self-satisfied and unaffected by external material
Loving service. Yeah, that's good. Any points?
The goal of spiritual life is not just liberation or escaping the existence. It is to get an absolute attraction and love for the Supreme. Therefore, the purpose of the Krishna Katha has the benefit that it can liberate someone, but it is also material. That it is, even when one is in material existence, it is very
hearing it, that one overcomes material resistance. And even after that, it is as much as an original. It is always ritual. Mm. And the devotees of the Lord, they have a glorium. They just want to hear the story of Krishna.
Mm.
And they are never satisfied.
Hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
We see such statements throughout the Bhagavatam whenever there are conversations happening about the pastimes of the Lord. So pure devotees of the Lord are always not satiated, they always want to keep hearing more and more about the pastimes of the Lord.
Hmm.
Like we see Maharaj Pariksit telling Sukadeva Goswami, don't think I'm famished due to hunger and thirst, you keep telling me detail.
Yeah, it is mentioned here in this verse especially that this is the symptom of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's called Vasudev Katha Ruchi. It's explained in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. If you don't have a taste for hearing about Krishna, you're not advancing in Krishna consciousness. You can do so much service Right? It doesn't matter how much service you do. That does not result in you becoming attached to hearing about Krishna. Then what is the point of all your service? That is the symptom of advancement. Right? We want to hear Krishna Gita constantly. Right? So many people, they don't develop this taste. Right? Some devotees don't develop the taste properly. That's not the point. Prabhupada said the whole point of this temple is to create a facility to hear and chant about Krishna. Otherwise, why did we spend all this money? Now, when we brought this temple, it was worth $180,000, right? Not only 74 or 70. I mean, that was a lot of money back then. What's it worth now?
15 million.
About 15 million, right? The property's worth about $15 million, something like that. Or 11 million, I can't remember. 11, I think. We had it evaluated. You know, 11 million, 15 million, something like that. Right? But what's the point? We have such an expensive piece of real estate in Albert Park, one of the most affluent suburbs in Melbourne. But if we don't use it for hearing and chanting, then what is the point? Right? That was Prabhupada's vision. Temples of ISKCON, they're meant to be places where people come together and hear and chant about Krishna. Prabhupada said the atmosphere inside the temple should be Satyayuga. Satyayuga means everything is peaceful. Kali Yuga is outside there. Mm-hmm. You step out the front gate in Dang Street, then you're back in Kali Yuga. But when you come on this side, when you're inside the temple, it should be Satyayuga. It means everything is peaceful.
Vaikuntha.
Vaikuntha atmosphere. No anxiety. What's that?
He said, Prabhupada said, this is non-different from Vrindavan.
Non-different from Vrindavan, yeah. So this is the atmosphere. So this only comes when we hear and chant. Prabhupada said, if we don't hear and chant, if we just worship the deities, then Prabhupada said, everything will finish. It will just become a business. So many of the temples, they're just businesses. You put a deity, people come, you get the money. Right? Just like when Gaukashore Das Babaji Maharaj, when he passed away, all the Babajis were trying to get his body so they could put it into Samadhi. Because they knew if they had a samadhi, people would come and give donations. So Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, he took the body. Because he did not want some unqualified people. If we don't hear and chant about Krishna, then the whole thing becomes, Prabhupada says, rubbish. Prabhupada says that. The whole movement becomes rubbish. The whole point of this movement is to hear and chant about Krishna. Then the deity worship becomes enlivening. As it is described in this... we'll read the next couple of paragraphs.
What's the meaning of end of transcendental
bliss? What is it?
It says, so chanting and hearing,
yeah,
the glories of the Krishna are both the means and the end of transcendental bliss.
Yeah. Because how do we go back to Krishna? We hear and chant. And when you get back to Krishna, everyone will be hearing and chanting.
So it can't be the end.
The end is going back to the spiritual world. Nero, do you want to finish that?
King Nini said to Sages, you are all great deity persons absorbed in love of Godhead. Therefore, although you will speak about Maya or an illusion, the conclusion will undoubtedly be Krishna consciousness. Please don't think that you have already explained everything to me. The intoxicating nectar of your instructions has left me more eager than ever to hear about Supreme Personality of Godhead. King Nimi was also a great devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, there would have been no question of his personally conversing with such exalted living entities as the Nandadevra. But as a humble Vaishnava, he considered himself an ordinary conditioned soul, covered by material designation. Thus he showed his eagerness to understand the actual nature of Maya in order to be saved from her future attempt to place him in the burning fire of material existence.
So what are the points?
I was hearing a lecture once and the speaker was saying that sometimes we see there's so much competition between devotees to these services. But he said that as the material body progresses, the capacity of the body to do physical services is going to go down. So unless throughout our life we develop the taste for hearing, we will not be able to sustain Krishna consciousness in our old age properly. Because in our old age, we probably might be just able to do the service of hearing and chanting. He said we never see competition in hearing, for example. Like it's open for everyone, anyone can sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam or something like that. So he was saying that along with services, it's so important to develop this taste as well. Otherwise, once the physical capacity is done, you will have nothing to look forward to sort of in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
As you said in the beginning, King Nimi wants to know the nature of Maya so that he can avoid Maya.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, because once again, if you don't know that you're in this material world, you won't get out of the material world. My Guru Maharaj said that. They had a great effect on me. I remember 1996, I was listening to one of his lectures, and then he said, if you don't understand you're in the material world, you'll never get out of the material world. And that struck me. That changed my whole life, that one sentence. Because until you understand you are in this material energy, you can't get out. If you think you're already liberated, how will you get out of the material world? No? So you have to understand you are attached to the material world. You have to understand what your attachments are. If you're denying yourself, you can't. I was a brahmachari in 1996. But I was denying myself. I still had attachment to women. So the year after that, I got married. Because that one line changed everything. Because I understood, I go out on book distribution in the marathon. And I always want to beat the Matajis. Right? In the competition, in the book distribution marathon, I had such a desire to beat the women. I would not let them beat me. And then I started thinking, is that a material attachment? And then when I analyzed, I thought, yeah, right? I don't care if the men beat me. Yeah? But if the women are beating me, then no, I become very competitive. Right? That's material attachment, material desire. Right? So then I had to change ashram. Right? Over 6 months or so, then I realized. So the point is, until you understand what your attachments are and that you're in the material world, you can't get out of the material world. You'll just stay here in the material world. Bahu jamma kadiyari shravani kirta. You'll just stay here and you'll just continue.
How will you be detached from me?
What's that?
How can you be detached?
How can you be detached? You have to study this chapter. Yeah, practice everything.
It reminds me of the story Dhammapit Gosain Lal, Dr. Prabhupada. Why you are paying so much obeisance? It took such a long time in paying obeisance. Prabhupada said, I am praying that Maya should not affect me.
Yeah. Okay. Sri Antariksha said, O mighty armed king, by activating the material elements, the primeval soul of all creation has sent forth all living beings in the higher and lower species so that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation according to their desire. Dina Dayal, you want to read the first paragraph?
According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the illusory energy Maya is explained in this verse through a description of her potencies, namely the modes of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has described Maya as Gunamani, consisting of the material modes of nature. The material modes of nature are alluded to in this verse by the word Ucha or Adi and low species of life. Various species of life become manifest as two varieties of beauty, ugliness, strength, weakness, and other characteristics within a particular species. According to the proportionate development of the modes of nature as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita's 13.22, this is due to the living being associated with material nature in good and evil species. Similarly, we find this statement.
So what are the points there?
Yeah,
beauty, ugliness, strength and weakness and other characteristics are all a form of Maya. Beauty, ugliness, strength, weakness, other characteristics are all a form of Maya.
Anything else?
The soul is the, should be the person to instruct, but if the senses we drive is crazy. You know, the soul should control the intelligence, intelligence, you know, the mind. Control the mind and the mind should control the senses, that it is going the other way. Hmm. And that's how it goes. Hmm.
So this was the emphasis is more on the word desire, looks like. So it is easy to blame the illusory energy for the cause of our problems, but the root cause of our problem is our mind and our material desires. It's only if we have material desires will Maya act on us. We don't have those desires, the Maya. So it is very powerful, Lord Krishna says that variation from any more Maya. It's very important. This verse seems to be focusing that it is desire which by which one gets trapped.
Very good. Anything else? So what binds us in the material world. Now the analysis is becoming more intricate. So what binds us in the material world is the three gunas, the three modes of material nature. I've mentioned before that the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they discuss Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Now when you study the last six chapters, what is the main subject matter? In the Jnana section of the Bhagavad Gita.
Modes of material nature.
Yeah, the three modes, the gunas. Right. Chapter 14 is called the three modes. Chapter 17 is divisions of faith. It's very much about the modes. Chapter 18 has a section about the modes. Chapter 16, the divine and demoniac natures, is based upon the modes. Right? Mode of goodness or the mode of passion and ignorance. If too much passion and ignorance, you're a demoniac. If it's sattva, then that is Devata, or divine nature. So everything is based in this world is based on the three modes of material nature. That's why we have to study in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam the subject matter of the three modes carefully, because then we can become liberated from them. Sattva gun is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness. Right? Rajagun and Tamagun are less advantageous for practicing Krishna consciousness. Rajagun, we need to use Rajagun, but we should not be in Rajagun. Sometimes we have to become passionate to get something done. But once it's finished, then we go back to Sattvagun. Right. Tamagun, then we don't use so much. At night time, we take rest, so that's Tamagun. Right. So we employ that in Krishna's service. But otherwise, we don't indulge in Tamagun. Rajagun also, be very careful of. Sattvagun, Prabhupada explains, is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness. So you have to understand the three modes of nature, how they act, how they work, how they bind, how they liberate. All this is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is the science of understanding. So, any points? So Dina, just read the rest of the paragraph.
But if you have got intelligence,
what is it?
If you have got good intelligence, given by Lord, then you can overcome.
Yeah, you have to study the modes. That's the point. That is helpful. Okay.
Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. the three general divisions of the material life are called Deva, Kriya and Nara. That is demigods, subhuman creatures and human beings. In the various species of life, there are various facilities for material sense gratification. Different species are distinguished by differently formed senses such as the genital, nostril, tongue, ears and eyes. Pigeons, for example, are given the facility for almost unlimited sex. Bears have an ample opportunity for sleeping. Tigers and lions exhibit the propensity for fighting and meat eating. Horses are distinguished by their legs for swift running. Vultures and eagles have keen eyesight and so on. The human being is distinguished by his large brain, which is meant for understanding God. The phrase sub-mantra parishityam is very significant in this verse. The word seva indicates possession. All living beings belong to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, according to this verse, they have two options: mantra parishityam and atma parishityam. Mantra refers to the material senses and the parishityam refers to the effective accomplishment. Therefore, mantra prashtiya means efficiently engaging in sense gratification. On the other hand, atma prashtiya refers to Krishna consciousness. There are two categories of atma: the jiva atma or ordinary living entity who is dependent, and the paramatma, the supreme living entity who is independent. Some living entities desire to understand both categories of atma. And in this verse, the word Atma Parishuddhi indicates that the material world is created to give those living entities the opportunity to achieve such an understanding and thus return to the kingdom of God, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Srila Sridhar Swami confirms this by quoting a verse from the Veda Shruti of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.2. The Lord created the intelligent senses and mind and the vital care of the living beings for sense gratification. For performing sacrifice to attain higher births and ultimately for offering sacrifice to the Supreme Soul. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the actual purpose of the Lord's creation is only one: to facilitate the advancement of devotional service to the Lord Himself. Although it is stated that the Lord facilitates sense gratification, it should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not ultimately condone the foolishness of the conditioned soul. The Lord facilitates sense gratification so that the living entity will gradually understand the futility of trying to enjoy without Him. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. In the Vedic literature, the Lord gives a regulative program so that the living beings can gradually exhaust their tendency to be foolish and learn the value of surrender unto Him. The Lord is undoubtedly the reservoir of all beauty, bliss and satisfaction, and it is the duty of the healthy living entity to engage in the loving service of the Lord. Although there are apparently two purposes of creation, it should be understood that ultimately the purpose is one. The arrangement for sense gratification is ultimately meant to bring the living entity to the single purpose of going back home, back to Godhead.
What are the points?
The material energy is the usual energy is binding in one sense. When the material energy of the Lord can be dovetailed, and it is also the means by which one can escape the material. For example, this body, especially it is given the brains. Human beings have the power of discrimination, whereas animals do not. Based on desires, we have studied that in the past, karmana, jaiva netrena janto deva upadhi. Based on karma and under the jurisdiction of the divine energy, living entities get their respective bodies. So the animals not have a discrimination to even understand their desires. They simply act on their desires. It's human beings have the intelligence to understand their desires and to decide act or not act on those desires. Here it is mentioned that the material energy provides all facilities for sense gratification. But another understanding of that, it also means that one who is already bound in this jail can regulate that sense gratification. And through the process of regulation, the whole one can escape and go back to body. Otherwise, one can easily mistake that this is only meant for enjoyment.
Anything else?
Say the Lord gives you the facility to enjoy the sense gratification. But that doesn't increase the troubles as well. To discern you that this world is not good. And then you get the test. And then you turn to a sin.
Any other points?
Lord generally exhaust their tendencies so that they are not foolish and they learn to surrender.
Yeah, the material world only exists for two reasons. What are the two reasons?
To
satisfy the desires of the living entities and then to facilitate them to go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to fall into one of these categories. Either we're trying to enjoy the material world or we're trying to get out of the material world. Right? But the whole purpose of being here is to get out. Right? And most of the living entities are just here to enjoy. So we should not be surprised. It's not easy to spread Krishna consciousness. People don't accept our philosophy. Why? Because they're here to enjoy. So then it's very difficult to make people into devotees. Right? You see very few people. It's like if you look at some of our most successful temples, like in ISKCON, like say Chalpati, for example. So how many devotees are in the congregation there? Roughly.
Thousands?
A thousand?
No, thousands of
devotees. Thousands. Yeah, roughly, like.
So Yatra only 5,000 people.
Yeah, so say 5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5,000, something like that. Five. But how many people are in that city? About 20 million or something.
1 million.
How many?
More than 1 million.
In Mumbai? Yeah, like 20 million or something. Yeah, the city's huge. 5,000 out of 20 million, it's not many. It's like point something percent. Most people are not interested to surrender to Krishna. That's why they came to the material world. But then some of us become, this is described in Harinam Chintamani, some of the jivas become introspective. Instead of extroverted, they become introverted. And they start thinking, what is the purpose of life? It is to go back home, back to Godhead. No? So those jivas, then Krishna, the material energy, supports their journey back home, back to Godhead. But for most of the living entities, it just facilitates their desire for sense gratification. Now, in the last paragraph, it mentions, in order to get out of this material world, one has to become regulated. That's why Prabhupada said, four regulatory principles. When you take initiation in ISKCON, one vidhi, four nisheda. Huh? One vidhi, I will chant minimum 16 rounds a day, four nisheda. No meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, or gambling. That's the system. Right? Because you have to become regulated. If you don't regulate your desire for sense gratification, you can't escape the material world. This is mentioned in the third chapter, Bhagavad Gita. What question does Arjuna ask to Krishna at the end of the third chapter? What makes me act sometimes even against my will? Something makes me act. Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. It is Kama, Rajaguna, Samudbhava. It is born from passion. Then Krishna gives the answer of how to overcome kama. And what is Krishna's answer? Your intelligence has to become strong. He said you have to have spiritually fixed up intelligence. That comes by hearing Shastra. And the second thing Krishna says, you have to regulate the senses. That's how you overcome lust. You have to regulate it. Okay, you say, that's what Grihastha Ashram is for. Okay, you have a desire for sense gratification. You have permission for sex life, but it has to be regulated. Right? You can't just have illicit sex. Right? You have to have regulated sex life. And that regulation helps you to overcome the desire. Prabhupada was explaining this very early in our movement, 1966, 67, very early in the movement, to Hayagriva Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's first disciples. Right? And Prabhupada was explaining, this is when the devotees were brand new. Prabhupada said, sex life is only once a month for procreation and children. Hayagriva Prabhu said, then you might as well give it up altogether. Prabhupada said, that is the idea. Prabhupada said, that is the idea. Why are you allowed to have it once a month? Right? So then you will give it up by regulating it. Right? That is the idea. To become detached from sense gratification. Right? How much do we know we're advancing when we become less attached to sense gratification? Then you know you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. So it says in the purport, you have to regulate the senses, then you'll overcome. Any points?
I still remember in early 70s, I was in Auckland Temple. One young fellow in speaking program stood up. I've got a good personality. I've got a very good job. I've got a nice girl, girlfriend. Why should I think of him?
Okay. Number four. The super soul enters the material bodies of the created beings, activates the mind and senses, and thus causes the conditioned souls to approach the three modes of material nature for sense gratification. So this is the power of Maya. It's explained in the purport, and I think Jagannath Ram Prabhu quoted before. Prabhupada said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, it is they do not fear Maya enough. We're not scared enough of Maya. No? But one who is serious about advancing Christian consciousness, he becomes very fearful of Maya. He won't compromise. Because he knows that Maya is always trying to distract us from devotional service. Prabhupada said, he also said another time, if I have one criticism of my disciples, it is?
They don't read my books enough.
They do not read my books enough. So these two things, actually they're related. You're not scared of Maya. Why are you not scared of Maya? Because you're not reading the books. Because if you read the books, it says, be very fearful of Maya, the material energy. The individual living being, the master of the material body, uses his material senses, which have been activated by the supersoul, to try to enjoy sense objects composed of the three modes of nature. Thus he misidentifies the created material body with the unborn eternal self and becomes entangled in the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is called Purusha Bhav. What is Purusha Bhav? Yeah, the mood that I am. The Purush. Why do we come to the material world? We're trying to be the Purush. We're imitating Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham. Tamaham Bhajan. Krishna is the Adi Purush. He is the Maha Purush. Krishna is the Purush. What are we? Prakriti. Prakriti means that which is enjoyed. We are prakriti. We're meant to be, but now in the material world, we're acting like we have Purusha Bhava. Right? We think, I am the enjoyer. We're imitating Krishna. Right? How well are you imitating Krishna? How successful are you so far? We're all trying to do it, but how's it working? Not very well. How many wives does Krishna have? 16,107. Eight. 16,108 wives. Right? And everyone is fully satisfied. We have one, and it is completely impossible to satisfy. Right? One husband, never satisfied. One wife, never satisfied. Right? So we are not the Purush. Even though we try to imitate Krishna, we can't do anything. Not very successful. So, we have to accept that Krishna is the Bhakta. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. Savaloka Maheshwaram. Suridam. Savabhutam. Yatramam. This is the peace formula. Krishna is the Bhakta. What are we? The Bhakta. Krishna is the Bhakta. Huh? That means he is the enjoyer of the Bhoga. Bhoga is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. You can't enjoy the Bhoga. You're allowed to enjoy the prasad. But it has to be offered to Krishna first. Otherwise you cannot enjoy it. Everything is for Krishna first, then. So that is the necessity. We have to escape the material world, we have to understand that everything needs to be offered to Krishna. Then the Purusha Bhava will disappear. Any points?
It's written there that the super soul activates. But the thing is, I thought super soul is just like a witness.
No, he's controlling everything in your heart. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what does the super soul do?
I thought it's like two birds. One is,
One is the super soul, the other one is the jiva. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I give you knowledge, forgetfulness, and
remembrance.
What is the Sanskrit? Jnanam smriti apohana cha. Krishna says, I give you knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So everything, that's what it means. Everything is coming from Krishna. He gives you knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness.
So if he is not happy, if he can't control this world, to do the right thing.
He gives you knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. That's all. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages in his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the result of his material actions by wandering throughout the world, this world, in so-called happiness and distress. So in the material world, everyone is misusing their independence. Krishna gives you independence. Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means, right, fully independent. Right, Krishna is fully independent. Right? And he gives you minute independence. But everyone in the material world is misusing it and getting themselves in all sorts of trouble. I could tell you many stories of people who got themselves into trouble. Even this week, even devotees that I know getting themselves into trouble. Misuse of independence. So many stories I can tell you. There's the problem in the material world. Everyone misuses the intimate. I was speaking to my wife before on the phone. I was saying, oh, this devotee did this, this devotee did that. I said, I can't believe they do these things. A devotee is simple-hearted. Just keep your life simple. When you complicate it, it becomes a problem. Right? You create problems for yourself and other people. Just keep it very simple. Otherwise, everything becomes a big problem.
What is the relation between simplicity and independence?
Use your independence to be simple.
Okay.
Thus the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death. Impelled by the reactions of his own activities, he helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to another, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation. So Bhagavad Gita says there are three types of karma. What are the three types of karma? Akama, karma, vikama. Which one do we need to practice? Akama. If you practice akama, you will get out of the material world. If you practice karma or vikama, you'll stay in the material world. When the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of eternal time withdraws the manifest cosmos, consisting of gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. So this is describing the pradhan. Pradhan means the unmanifest material energy. Yeah. Now, there are eight verses from here for the next eight verses. What is the topic? Destruction. Now, you'll hear about the destruction of the material world. Why would you be attached to something if you know it's going to be destroyed? Brihaspati, he cursed Indra. And then what happened? Indra became a pig. And then what happened when he was a pig? He became attached. How can you be attached if you know something is going to be destroyed? How can you sleep peacefully tonight if you know during the night someone's going to set fire to your house? Not possible. How can you be peaceful? Like the Pandavas, when they went into the house of luck, were they peaceful? Because they knew. As soon as Yudhisthira walked in, he looked around and said, this is all built to be burnt.
Vidura told them.
Vidura also mentioned it. So everything was, how can you be peaceful? Right? So now you hear about what's going to happen in this material world. How can you be peaceful? How can you sleep peacefully tonight after you read these verses? When the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of eternal time withdraws the manifest cosmos, consisting of gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. As cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on Earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. Right. So can you imagine a fire which goes for 100 years? Right. That's how intense the material world becomes. A fire which just lasts for 100 years. But then what happens? Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarsana. Its flames shooting upward, driven by great winds. It scorches everything in all directions. Hordes of clouds, called Samvartika, pour torrents of rain for 100 years, flooding down in raindrops as long as the trunk of an elephant. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. Then Vairaja, Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O King, and enters into the subtle, unmanifest nature like a fire that runs out of fuel.
That's not Brahma, is it?
Yeah, it's Brahma.
The
Vairaja. Yeah. Yeah, Brahma.
You mean Lord Brahma?
Lord Brahma. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it is Brahma. So ultimately this universe becomes dust. Right? In Hindi you say miti?
Miti.
Miti. Miti means dust. Everything becomes. So the whole material world is like that. Everything will be burnt, and then the flood will come, and everything will be just dust. So don't be attached.
Dust
we're attached.
Dust is good.
Also miti.
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 Mitzi,
dust. Don't argue with me, I know Hindi. Don't argue with your teacher. I know so many things. Deprived of its quality of aroma by the wind, the element earth is transformed into water, and water deprived of its taste by the same wind is merged into fire. Fire deprived of its form by darkness dissolves into the element air. When the air loses its quality of touch by the influence of space, the air merges into that space. When space is deprived of its tangible quality by the Supreme Soul, in the form of time, space merges into false ego in the mode of ignorance. My dear King, the material senses and intelligence merge into false ego in the mode of passion, from which they arose. And the mind, along with the demigods, merges into false ego in the mode of goodness. Then the total false ego, along with all of its qualities, merges into the Mahat Tattva. So everything merges back. Everything manifests and then it comes back. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This illusory potency, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is empowered by the Lord for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? So after hearing about Maya, now the great sages are saying, what else can I tell you? Right? So next week we will finish chapter 3. There's only 2 more weeks of classes, and then that is it for this year. What will you do? 2 more weeks and then what? Then 3 months, no classes. What will you do?
Dhammadhara mantra study.
That is good. But then what will you do after that? You have to read.
Keep reading.
Keep reading. Because next year we will continue. Only 2 more weeks and then. No exam. We already had 2 exams this year. Normally we have 3, but we're only going to get to maybe chapter 4 or something. So exams will come next year. Srila Prabhupada ki. So 2 more weeks. Make sure your fees are up to date by next week for the end of the year. And then if anyone else has any exams they need to hand in, I think everyone's handed now. Has everyone done the oral presentations? Have you got the hard copy? Yeah. Have you done the oral presentation? Oh, that's done. Merlin? Okay, tell him to send it to me. Yeah, remind him. He didn't send me the results. Then I think everything is up to date. Srila Prabhupada ki.